It was August 1865. The Civil War was over. A young journalist in California, using the pen name Mark Twain, was protesting police brutality and the mistreatment of Chinese. For months, James had driven himself to overwork, and he and I had just returned from a particularly strenuous trip. The next morning, we walked to Brother Lunt's to pick up the day's milk.
You look tired enough to drop in your tracks, James. Perhaps you should have stayed in bed this morning.
I slept poorly again, but I feel better now. Brother Lunt's corn patch looks mighty healthy. I'm going to pick an ear and see how it turned out.
They look like good fat ears, James. James, what's the matter? James!
What's the matter with Elder White?
I don't know. He can't speak in his army. It's just hanging. He can't use it. Help me get him to the couch.
Pray.
He wants us to pray. Let's do that, then fetch the doctor. Doctor, what's the matter with my husband?
He's had a paralytic stroke, Mrs. White. Quite a bad one, I'm afraid. I'll be frank, ma'am. I'm not sure he'll live.
But he's better already. He has some control over his hand now.
I'm sorry. He could have a second stroke at any time.
Can we move him to our house?
I'd wait a day or two. If he's still alive then, go ahead.
For 5 weeks, I cared for James at home, with the help of Uriah Smith and his wife, and George and Martha Amidon. Dr. Horatio S. Lay, an Adventist physician who worked at Dr. James Jackson's Water Cure Institute in Dansville, New York, suggested James go there for treatment. And in mid-September, Elder Loughborough and Uriah Smith accompanied us to our home on the hillside.
I've finished my examination, Mr. White. It's actually fortunate you had your stroke when you did.
What? How can you say that, Doctor?
Had you continued to work under the same pressure for but a short time longer, your stroke would probably have been fatal.
Was it that close?
Indeed it was. And mark my words, both of you, the causes that led to this attack must be avoided in the future. Mr. White, you should remain here at the Institute for 6 to 8 months.
James and I found rooms within walking distance of the Institute and immediately began taking water treatments. Dr. Jackson provided a healthful, balanced diet of fruit, vegetables, nuts, and whole grain bread. But the doctor disapproved of prayer, and he prescribed activities we did not approve.
Dr. Jackson, you said recreation must be part of my husband's treatment. Does that include cavorting around on a dance floor?
Certainly, Mrs. White. Along with card games and frequent visits to the theater.
We will not be participating in those amusements, Doctor. They don't conform with our religious beliefs.
But you must participate. By my medical authority,
we obey a higher authority, sir. We will furnish our own diversions.
Ladies, ladies, may I have your attention, please? As you know, we've engaged the fiddler for our next hoedown. Now, I've been asked to solicit donations from the patients to pay his fee.
Here's something. Must pay the fiddler, mustn't we?
Here's my nurse.
How about you, Mrs. White?
No. I won't use my money for such a purpose, nor will I sanction dancing by my influence.
Oh, you and your husband are much too intense, Mrs. White. Maybe that's why you're sick.
Do you ever see me gloomy or despondent? Do you ever hear me complain? It's a misconception on your part that a true Christian character produces cheerlessness.
Well, now...
It's the want of genuine religious belief that produces gloom and sadness.
So you say.
Willing service to Jesus produces a sunny religion. We need more Christ and less selfishness.
Sister White, may I have a word with you?
Certainly, Dr. Lay.
Elder White's made fair progress, but his nerves are still badly jangled. Is something bothering him?
My husband doesn't sleep well, Doctor. Sometimes he's up most of the night, and me with him. I'm sure he misses the children.
Well, for the next several months, we must concentrate on the problem of his nerves, or his recovery won't be complete. It might be a good idea to have your boys come to Dansville.
On November 7th, 1865, 16-year-old Edson and 11-year-old Willie arrived. Adelia Van Horn, formerly Adelia Patton, came along to care for the boys while we took treatment.
The whole church is praying for Elder White's recovery, Ellen. How's he doing now? We read a paragraph or two in the review, but nothing really substantial.
He makes slow progress, Adelia. And he requires constant care. Often, when he can't sleep for pain, I leave my bed and pray for God to grant him rest.
It must be a very hard task for you.
Nearly all my life, I've been an invalid, and he's taken care of me with tenderness and patience. Now it's my turn to repay a small amount of the attention and kindness I've received from him.
On the night of December 4th, 1865, James was especially restless, and even my earnest prayers brought no relief. He was resigned to death, but I believed God would heal him. As I prayed, I became convinced we should go home to Battle Creek, and in the morning I talked with the doctors.
Dr. Lay, unless there's a decided improvement in my husband in 2 or 3 weeks, I shall take him home.
You can't take him home. He's not able to endure such a journey.
I shall go. I shall take my husband by faith, relying upon God. I shall tarry a few days at Rochester, then go on to Detroit to rest again.
You'll kill him!
Thank you so much for all you've done. We shall ever remember with gratitude the kind attention we've received here from the doctors and staff of our home on the hillside. But it's time James was home with those who love him.
Our party left on the morning of December 6th, 1865, in a drizzling rain. In Rochester, we stayed with the Bradley Lamson family. At James' request, friends came to pray, including J.N. Andrews, who returned from Maine, where he had been preaching. More than 2 weeks passed.
It's been a beautiful Christmas day. It's too bad most of Elder White's friends have had to leave.
At least Brother and Sister Lindsay are still here, and John Andrews still comes over every day. James has great confidence in the prayers of Brother Andrews.
And here he comes now, with Brother Loughborough. We can start our prayer service.
Glory, glory, glory. It seemed I was born quickly from earth to heaven, where all was health, beauty, and glory. I had an encouraging view of James' case. I was shown that Satan's purpose was to destroy my husband and bring him down to the grave. But through these earnest prayers, his power has been broken.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Your vision is very encouraging, Ellen. We tarried too long. Let's start for Battle Creek on New Year's Day. That'll give us a week to get ready.
Yes, let's do that, James. I believe the Lord will go with us on our journey and see us safely home.
Elder White's been home for several months now, Elder Smith. But I saw him yesterday for the first time. It was a shock.
I know. He's not at all well yet.
When I saw that once strong man bowed down with disease and took his weak hand, I couldn't refrain from weeping. He's been like an oak tree standing firmly against all the winters. But now, the branches are broken. All broken.
James's recovery was slow. I had to constantly encourage him and try to keep him occupied to take his mind off his discomforts. My dedication to my husband's health drew severe criticism.
Sister White has called for health reform for the church. Mm-hmm. Why doesn't she practice what she preaches?
Yes, she's sacrificing her life the way she tends her husband day and night. And it's useless. He'll never recover. The doctors all say so.
She should think of her children. For their sake, she needs to take care of herself.
Not to mention the way she's neglecting her work with the church.
Ellen, please give up. You've done everything in your power. You mustn't attempt impossibilities.
Mother White, as long as life is left in him and me, I will make every exertion for him. That brain, that noble, masterly mind shall not be left in ruins.
But you have children who need your care. Think of them.
God will care for my children, Father White. Satan shan't exult over us. You will yet see us standing side by side in the sacred desk, speaking the words of truth.
Determined to get James back into the work, a year after our return from Rochester, I planned a speaking tour in northern Michigan. On December 19, 1866, in the midst of a snowstorm, James and I and 12-year-old Willie left Battle Creek in a sleigh driven by Brother Rogers. I had the Lord's promise that my husband would get well. I was sure there were better days ahead.